In a letter to Senator Len Fasano this week, the Connecticut General Assembly Conservative Caucus commented on the Senate Republican Transportation Funding Plan, which is called Fiscal Accountability in Sustainable Transportation Reform, the acronym being FASTR, as in faster. Faster Connecticut, expressing appreciation for the Senate's efforts, but stating its belief that no responsible transportation funding plan can be developed without incorporating the results of a financial audit conducted by the state auditors of public accounts.
There you go.
Which is the APA, and a process audit conducted by a private consulting company that specializes in auditing large corporations using the standards of the Certified Project Management Professionals or someone similar. So we, and I've been able to obtain the letter that the chairman of the Connecticut General Assembly's Conservative Caucus, his name is State Representative Mike France. I was able to obtain a copy of his letter to State Senator and Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano, as well as obtain the letter in return from Len Fasano to Mike France. And so we're going to bring on with us right now the chair of the Conservative Caucus in the General Assembly, and a good buddy of mine, too, by the way. He's actually one of my favorite state reps. I served with him with my two terms. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we came in together, but we never served on any committees. You want to talk about a guy who knows numbers, Brad? Right here.
Really?
Yeah, let's bring him on.
Okay.
State Representative Mike France. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
Excellent.
I'm glad to hear that.
How about those numbers?
Hey, how about those numbers?
Yeah. So I was reading this, an intro with you, and you bring up an outstanding point. And by the way, not a point that's gone unnoticed. There are people who would call the show and ask, well, why don't they just do an audit? Why is an audit not part of this? And just as I start to look into this, there you go. There you have it. You beat me to it. You've already suggested to Len Fasano that an audit needs to take place.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that the state auditors of public accounts, they do routine audits on every agency across government. But what we need in this particular case is a more detailed audit of the Department of Transportation to understand not only where the money has been allocated and spent, but also to understand, you know, some details on things like what are the subsidy rates of our public transportation system.
Mm.
And I think that they can do that. And some people have talked about the cost. Well, in this case, the auditors of public accounts are doing this as employees of the state. So they work for the legislature, seeking financial oversight of the state agencies. And so that part of the auditing comes with the, you know, with the employees that are there. And I think that's key because that's one piece. And then if you couple that with the Transportation Strategy Board reinstatement that Senator Fasano and the Senate Republicans have provided, I think that provides the oversight. And then you have the information, the details, the financial accounting of what's been going on to help the Transportation Strategy Board make their decisions.
Well, yeah, because you can't have the police policing the police.
Correct. And I think the second piece, though, is even more important, is this process audit. So in private business, large corporations, when they look at their own policies, their own procedures, are they being efficient? You know, one of the big things over the last couple of decades has been the lean process. And you bring in an outside consultant who knows lean practices and moderates or takes in the employees and looks at their processes.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it would be a consulting firm who does the same thing in a similar way. And kind of process-wise, they come in, they do interviews, they review policies and procedures, they walk through the process that is under review, and then they provide feedback. And the benefit to that is they are experts in looking at large corporations across the country and across the world, and they will bring best practices of those private corporations. And fundamentally, DOT as an organization should operate as an just like an engineering firm out in the private sector. We have the intersection of government with how they're funded and some oversight and some rules, but the internal workings of DOT ought to be identical to a private sector business, and they are not.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of begs a couple of questions. Number one, why wouldn't, originally, in the original plans, and whether it was the governor's plan or even in the House and Senate, Democrats did a combined budget, I should say. I shouldn't say plan. I should say in the budget. Why wasn't even this included? Why wasn't a forensic audit, if you will, included in their original plan?
Well, I think what we've seen going back to the Malloy administration, that almost every plan that they have brought forward is led with revenue. Give me a bunch of money and I promise to do good things with it. Unfortunately, this legislature for decades has demonstrated that they are incapable of doing that. They make commitments to the people of the state of Connecticut. They revenue in. They commit it to a certain thing. And they promise the residents of this state that they will do that. And they sweep the money and move it somewhere else once it gets into the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the failing of the past. So they don't want to know what's really going on there. And it's one of the things that Governor Malloy, when he did away with the Transportation Strategy Board, he clearly did not want an outside organization overseeing Department of Transportation as he was going to roll out his $100 billion pipe dream of a transportation plan. He wanted to be the guy directing the Department of Transportation through his commissioner that he picked. And that to me is the only reason that you did away with the Transportation Strategy Board that had been in place for many years under Governor Rowland and Governor Rowe.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa.
It is unbelievable.
How could you let that happen?
Yeah, and here's the state spending money crazily. I mean, you got that CT Fast Track, which... my goodness, the amount of money that was sunk into that for the ridership that it's that it has. And I understand there are times in which those buses are packed, which is in morning and afternoon, like your morning drive and your afternoon drive.
Right, right.
But for all intents and purposes, I mean, no one's really riding that thing for the remaining hours in between or before and after. I mean, out of 24 hours a day, it's running, I believe, 21 hours, you know.
More or less.
Yeah, I guess my question, though, Mike, and I get this question from our callers every now and then, is that if transportation infrastructure was so important, not only to the Lamont administration, but even, as you and I both well know, even in the Malloy administration, if it was so important to fix our bridges and tunnels and so on and so forth, why would money get swept in the first place out of that transportation fund and into the general fund to be only reappropriated elsewhere?
Well, and I would argue that the spending that is in the budget that the people, the legislature put in there is unsustainable. And we see that in the third year, we are always looking at a chronic deficit projected. And so what happens is the legislature is unwilling to check the spending. And they are also unwilling to legitimately put revenue in place that's sustainable. And so we end up with these shortfalls. And instead of raising taxes and being honest with the people of Connecticut about what the government that they want costs, they take money from these other little pools of resources. And, I mean, we saw it when we first came in, the doubling of the cost of licensing for professionals in the state, electricians, plumbers, real estate agents, everybody who had a license in the state of Connecticut essentially had a substantial increase in the cost. It wasn't because it cost more to process those licenses.
Yeah.
It's because the legislature needed more money, and they didn't want to raise the sales tax and income tax because that would be above the fold dues. So they hid it in all these little fees and licensing fees and other fees that bring revenue into the general fund, and then can be used to be spent anywhere they want in the budget.
What are the chances, Mike, of... I read the letter I have in front of me from Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano. In fact, he's a regular guest with us. But I have not talked to him since you have sent this letter out to him and since he has responded back. What are the chances of a plan that contains an audit to... go forward and get passed?
Well, the challenge is whether the majority party really wants to solve this or not. Unfortunately, what they've done is they've led with revenue in almost every discussion that they've had, as opposed to what problem are we trying to solve. That's really where we have to start. I was a little encouraged by the latest, by looking at, you know, the choke points of intersections. If you look at the design of our roads and the intersections between major highways, that's really where the choke points. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with I-91 southbound as you approach the 691 and Route 15 intersection.
That's right. Yep.
Less than a half a mile apart. There should never be that kind of intersection. But what happens, you have three lanes of traffic going south. The right-hand lane backs up on the 691 interchange. The middle lane has the people that are diving in and out of the right lane. And effectively, you have one lane of traffic.
This is dangerous.
So it's not surprising that traffic backs up during commute hours. You know, so those are the kinds of design. You look around the country, you are where you have large metropolitan areas, urban environments, large traffic areas. You take that interchange off the highway traffic main. You know, where I grew up in Southern California, you have essentially like a frontage road and a cloverleaf design that the interchange happens, but is outside the main traffic lanes. You look at most of the country, that is what they've done in their high traffic areas so that they don't have these kinds of backups causing the main flow of traffic to be backed up.
It's just, what's so bothersome about this, Mike, is that Len is agreeing with you, and but again, you just said something a moment ago that it brought me back down to reality, and that is, you need to get the majority party, you know, the party that really rules the roost, the House and Senate Democrats, on board with this. And something tells me, whether it's from high or above, whether it's from the executive branch, that they will not proceed with an audit.
Well, it is interesting because, I mean, yes, the numbers were different 2 years ago when we had the bipartisan budget passed, and a lot of those great policies and things like the spending cap and the volatility cap, the bonding cap, have rolled forward and still remain in law today. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a chance when you have movements like No Toll CT, Pat Sasser, his group, mm-hmm. and others at the grassroots level that have maintained a messaging campaign to these Democrat legislators principally, that there may be a time where if they want a solution, that these things be incorporated in. But you're right, it's a heavy lift given the numbers and the practical reality. But I think that there is an opportunity. Plus, I think when you bring out something that is, you know, common sense, I think what the Senate Republicans have put forward is a good plan for, you know, how to comply with statute related to the budget reserve fund, and paying down the unfunded liability in our pension funds, and reinstating the Transportation Strategy Board, creating the Rail Strategy Board. You know, those kinds of things are good governance, and I believe the people will start to understand that.
Yeah.
And it will be bipartisan support. I think when you throw these two audits in, you get the data that's needed in order to make the right decisions on how DOT should function, how the projects that we need to have done around this state to maintain our infrastructure and to deal with the true issue. Because if you remember back when CT Fast Track and the rail line that just went in, when they were opened up, the whole rationale that Governor Malloy made in his administration was he was going to reduce traffic. He was going to give you 25 minutes of your life back. That has not happened.
No.
And now, of course, he would argue they didn't implement his $100 billion pipe dream, but the practical reality is there has been work done. There has been public transportation open, and it has not had the effect that he committed to and promised. But it's costing the taxpayers of the state of Connecticut substantially. Mm-hmm. The last three public transportation systems, the Britain to Hartford busway, extending that busway out to stores, and the rail line from New Haven to Springfield, cost the taxpayers well over $100 million a year in subsidy.
Wow.
For
that's
very
crazy.
Low ridership.
Oh. Wow.
And it doesn't do what they claim it would do, which is taking away traffic on the roads. Yeah. And that was the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you should have public transportation, and why what works in the cities, is that you don't need to expand your roads, and I'm going to provide this system. And that's why the subsidy is there. Yeah. And it's supposed to be effectively like a return on investment, in that I don't have to build another lane of road and maintain it. It's not the way it's been designed here. There is no system here. You're building point-to-point transportation in the New Britain to Hartford busway. You're assuming there's enough demand in New Britain going to Hartford to support a new public transportation system. And there isn't.
No.
And
sir,
so that's really the failure of public transportation as it's been being done in the state of Connecticut outside of Metro North.
Now, just because it's the right thing to do doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to get done. And that's the sad thing, Mike. We're running out of time here. You got a special session today, right?
We do.
Yeah, you're going in for the waiters and waitresses wages as well as the hospital bill, right?
Correct.
Hey,
correct.
In about 20 seconds or less, what do you think? Next month, transportation bill, that includes tolls, going to happen or not?
I don't believe so. We've been hearing next month for about the last 4 months, so I'm thinking next month become the month after that, and then we'll be in session.
And then it'll never happen.
Have another debate in the proper way.
Yeah, it would need a public hearing, and it'll never happen during a short session in an election year. So
highly unlikely.
All right, you are fantastic. We got to call upon you again, my friend.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate the time, Gary. Good to see you. Brad, good to be on with you.